good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Hello, BBC family. This is our Sunday school lesson. Of course, we weren't able to deliver it on Wednesday because Wednesday was a special prayer time, and it was a good thing that we did that because of all of the mayhem that has taken place these last few days. But we will, by the grace of God, we will deliver this message today. Now, of course, you can see I'm in my office, don't have my glasses on. You know, brother's just a little rough, but you know what we've been through this week. So let's go through our lesson for today. All right. So if you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, verses 1, 2, and 3, comma, verses 18 through 21, then verses 24 through 26, and then skip over to Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 4. All right. I know we're jumping around quite a bit today, but it's all right. We're going to do this together. So our lesson topic for today is risk takers. Amen. Risk takers. One of the things that we know, of course, about serving God is that God can put you in some seriously precarious situations, but we know that God is so good to us. He keeps us. He takes care of us. And in my mind, when I'm trusting God, I don't even use the term risk because I know that I'm not taking a risk when I'm following God because everything that God does is going to be all right. I'm taking a risk when I step out of the will of God and I attempt to do things on my own. That's when the risk is taken. But I would like to call it a faith walk. When I'm with God and I can't see, you know, what's up ahead and I'm a little shaky about what's around me, I'm telling you right now, I'm trusting him, knowing that he'll make a way out of no way. So let's get into our lesson. When we get here today, one of the things that you'll need to know is that the Apostle Paul had left Athens at this time. Bless his heart, he did not have the successful revival that he was hoping that he would have. He was not able to really evangelize them. Of course, you know what the scripture says, that Paul, of course, while in Athens, went up on Mars Hill where all of the philosophers were, and he began to talk to them about Jesus, and then they began to talk about Aristotle and other things of that nature. And when you read that, you'll discover that Paul did not feel as if he was really that successful. Now, there were some converts, not many. So God moved him just a few miles up the road. He moved him to Corinth or to Achaia. And God had to help Paul to understand that he has friends even in Achaia. And what you're going to learn about this today is the fact that his good friends, lifelong friends all the way till the end, will be a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. They were, in regard to Christianity, the power couple. And to be honest with you, sisters, I know we just finished on last week talking about the power of women in serving the Lord, discipleship, and in preaching. Most of the Christian scholars believe that when it came to expounding on that word, that really Priscilla was the heavy in that regard. And I mean that in a very positive way. So let's get into the word of God on today. And of course, you all know my method, and what I do is I'll first read the scripture to you, the verse to you, and then we will go back and exegete it. Acts chapter 18, verses 1, 2, and 3. Again, Paul is now moving from Athens to Achaia, which is also known to us as Corinth. Scripture says in Acts 18, 1, 2, and 3, Acts 18, verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. As I mentioned to you, Paul had left his primary companions. He had left Silas and Timothy behind. They were in Berea at this time. And Paul was traveling now south. And again, bless his heart, as I mentioned earlier, he didn't have the best time in Athens. And let me share this. You know, I've learned this about ministry, y'all. And when you bless you, you may have great intentions. You may think that you can go to a given location and it's going to be gangbusters, that awesome things, great things are going to happen. And you go there, you got your best lesson, you got it packed. You know, you have your outline, everything laid out, your sermon, everything laid out. And it's amazing. You get to that location and you lay an egg. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, you thought that you were ready to deliver that word and it didn't come out the way that you had hoped it would. You know, God's word does not go out void and it does not return back to us void. So be mindful of that. There were some converts in Athens, but it was not a situation where Paul was used to actually planting whole churches. And it didn't work out that way. But God kept on moving him to that place. There are times when those of us, I mean, when we get a little bit too happy, mama used to say we start smelling ourselves. They used to say you get mannish. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You get fast. You know, you get to a place where you think you really got it going on. But God will allow you to go in some big venues and just bomb. I, for one, have been there like many times, not just one or two times. I've been there several times. So obviously, God knows something about Michael Evans that Michael Evans needs to learn about himself. And that is, we cannot make one step, one move without the Lord. You know, we're going through something right now in our community. I mean, this ice storm. And if you're in Texas, I mean, we're all going through this thing together. There have been individuals who haven't lost power, but there have been a whole lot of folks who lost power. Of course, Sister Evans and I, we were in that number of people who lost power. It helped us to better relate to the conditions going on around us. Now, I'm not saying we needed to lose power in order to relate to people suffering, but when you go through it, you just feel a little different. That's one of the things about getting full of yourself. Amen. And I'm telling you, even as mayor, you know, I ain't lying to you. I'm walking on eggshells because one of the things that I don't want to do is to think that, you know, just because we've had some triumphs, just because we get some, have some good words from a few people that we think, that Michael thinks, ain't y'all, that me, that I think I'm all that in a bag of chips, because I am literally, y'all, afraid of embarrassing, and y'all have heard me say this before, of embarrassing my wife, my kids. I'm afraid of embarrassing the Bethlehem Church family. I mean this now. I'm serious. I'm afraid of being a flop in front of the entire city of Mansfield. And some of you, you know why. I mean, because when you get to these particular places, people put their trust in you, and then you mess up, you lay an egg, and you know, in my mind, it messes up whoever's going to come behind you. And I think you hear exactly what I'm saying. So here you have in verse number one, God moved the Apostle Paul from Athens to Corinth, 50 miles west. As a matter of fact, he moved him 50 miles west from where he was. God moved him to that other place. And watch this. When he got to where God wanted him to be, things started to work out. That's a word for somebody right now. Let's look at verse number two in our text today. So the word of God says, verse number two, and found, after he had moved, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. This is what we need to know. Again, God had to tell Paul, listen, I've got folks everywhere. I have friends everywhere. Hallelujah. I am a witness to that. Scripture says that as soon as he got there, 50 miles west of Athens, as soon as he got there into Corinth, God blessed him. Look at the text. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Now, when you put all of verse two together, scripture says, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Priscilla and Aquila apparently were from Rome. You've heard me preach from the letter written to the church at Rome on many times. And what you know is that Claudius, who was the emperor at the time, had expelled all of the Jews from the city of Rome. Rome is the capital city of the empire. He removed them because they were fighting with each other over the identity of Christ. And by that, I mean, they knew that that Christ lived, the historical Jesus, as we would call him in seminary. They knew that he lived, but you had some who were the Orthodox Jews did not want to accept Jesus as the Christ. However, the movement was growing, and there were people who had come to know Jesus Christ as far back as the Pentecost that took place, of course, early on in Acts chapter 2. And one of the things that you'll discover there is that the Bible says that there were proselytes from Rome. So when Peter gave that remarkable sermon where 3,000 people came to know Christ at that one time, there were Romans in the midst of that. And those Romans went back to the imperial city and they started the church there. All right. So when they started the church there, then that church was moving. It was growing, and it was growing with Jews and with Gentiles. So when the Gentiles who were not expelled from that city, they stayed there. The church continued to grow. Well, when the Jews got back to Rome, it was a problem. Hello, somebody. And the problem was, of course, that they were moved out of their positions. But that's for another. That's another lesson. What I want you to see here is that Priscilla and Aquila had to leave. They had to flee from Rome. They were put out from Rome. They didn't get to go back until about 6 years later when Nero allowed them to come back. And of course, Nero was worse than Claudius because he tried to kill every last one of them. But anyway, when you look at verse number 2, that's what was going on. So he met them. And note something about Aquila's name. Aquila's name means eagle. Isn't that awesome? His name means eagle. And when we're talking about Priscilla, Priscilla, of course, is a nickname for a woman named Prisca. Amen. It's a beautiful name. And know this, that they were definitely a power couple. Anytime you can get a couple that's working together for the same cause, and y'all, it can be Christianity, or it can be just knowing the direction of your family. You know, I say to people all the time, you know, if you are married, you need to make sure that you've got a good strategy for your household. And mom and daddy need to be on the same page so that when the kids, whether they are children or they are adults, they need to know where you stand on certain issues so that there cannot be any manipulation. Amen. All right. Let's keep pressing. Verse number 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. Look at God. So when Paul moved from Athens to Corinth, he met fellow tent makers. In other words, they had something in common. Not only that, but watch God. God had a place for the Apostle Paul to stay. Ain't God all right? God has a way of not only putting you in good company, but God will make provisions for you. Look at verse number 3. The scripture says that they were of the same craft and that Paul stayed with them. Y'all remember back in the day, and I mean really back in the day, where your kinfolk, when they would come to town, they didn't stay at a hotel. Kinfolk stayed at your house. You ain't having like 2 or 3 bedrooms, but that's all right. Y'all, anybody listening to me know what a pallet is? You lay out pallets and you pull out pillows and you just have the best time. Now we've got 4,000 square foot homes and kinfolk from out of town better not try to stay at your house because we have the nerve to try to act funny. We got places to stay. I mean, for everybody. No, they can't stay here. Amen. Shame on us. And I mean every one of us. Shame on us. Because one thing that we used to do, you know, and again, I'm going back into my childhood. Man, my grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather, I'm talking about Clyde Evans and Amen and Albert Evans. Those are my grandparents. They would have all of us at the house for the weekend. And by all of us, I mean all of my cousins. Man, it'd be 8 of us in one bed, 4 of us on a pallet up underneath the air conditioner. Mom and them was in their room. They didn't have but a 2-bedroom house, and that was big time back then because my grandfather worked for the railroad. So, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Daddy, I mean, you know, that was big back then, but we all stayed together. Even when people would go to convention meetings out of town, we didn't have to worry about hotel rooms when you went to a convention meeting. We stayed at people's houses who lived in those cities. Same thing in verse number 3. They all stayed together. Paul, watch God. Paul was bivocational. Paul was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, the rabbi. Paul was a trained rabbi. Amen. Acts chapter 22. Paul was a trained rabbi. Y'all remember now, Paul once had favor with the high priest. Paul was a persecutor of the church, but also not only was he a trained rabbi, Paul also had another occupation, because if the rabbi wasn't getting fed, amen, preachers, pastors, and all y'all out there, amen, that don't want to work another job. Let me tell you something. You needed something in order to support and take care of your family. Now, there are many of you listening. There are many now who are members of the church. I worked other jobs for 16 years until Deacon Willie O. Lawson said to me, while I was working at the Baptist General Convention of Texas, I was the director of African American Ministries. Deacon Willie O. Lawson said, as the church continued to grow, he said to me in my face, that's why I love him so hard. Amen. Present tense. He's with the Lord. I love that man. He said, Pastor Evans, it's time to come on back to the church now. Well, I was in the church. I mean, I was working two jobs. I would get off at 5 o'clock at the BGCT. I would get to the house by 5:30. We would have dinner at the table. I talked to my boys. Hey, how y'all doing? Talk to the wife. Wife would get them set, ready for homework. They do homework for about an hour, hour and a half. While I was at Bethlehem, I get to BBC about 6:30, and then the auxiliaries, ministries now, auxiliaries would meet at 7, from about 7 to 9. I leave Bethlehem at 9 o'clock. I get back to the house at about 9:15, put the boys to bed, have pillow talk with the wife from about 9:30 till about 10:30. I mean, I'm telling you, I had this thing mapped out. Mama would go to sleep. Then I would go in the dining room, open up my Bible commentaries, and would start studying. Usually up until about 1 o'clock or so in the morning, go to bed, get up in the morning at about 6:30, get the boys ready, get the boys to school. That was a bivocational life. Most individuals, amen, especially those who are African American, most individuals who are pastoring churches or what have you, we had to work other jobs because we wanted to make sure that our families had food to eat. The last thing, first of all, I didn't want to be a preacher in the first place. I ain't lying to you. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a civil rights attorney because, again, my grandfather, my daddy, they were deacons. They were deacons who were pastor lovers. But there were other deacons who served along with them. They were not pastor lovers. And even though the kids couldn't be in the room when the grown folks were talking, hello, somebody. My grandmother in Fort Worth would have circle meet. Y'all, some of y'all know what that is. Well, we couldn't be in the room with them, but we sure did have our ear to the wall because the walls were thin. And we would hear some of the things that other folks would say about the pastor. They'd be starving the brother out, ain't going to pay him this week. I had to have a whole meeting on whether they were going to pay the man medical bill. I said, oh, heck no. I ain't getting ready to be no pastor. And they can starve the brother out. Somebody's laughing at me right now, but I ain't lying to you. God brought me kicking and screaming. Ask my father in the ministry, Frank D. Lawson. Ask Mary Lawson, his wife. I cried like a baby. Ask Reverend McGinty. Ask Reverend Tony Brown. Man, I wasn't trying to be no preacher, but God called me. But still, thank God for Sister Winston. Amen. Sister Grace Winston, as Deacon Rodney Tyrone's mother. Sister Grace Winston helped me to move from UPS to the Fort Worth Independent School District where I taught the fifth grade. From there, thank God for Sister Carrie Thompson Brumfield. She's the one. One summer, she came, Doris and Doris Grooms, Sister Doris Grooms, Sister Sharon Massey, Sister Carmen Ossini, the late sister of Deacon Rodney Tyrone, Deacon Herbert Shepherd. We came together. We would gather the kids from the neighborhood. We rented Irma Nash, right here in Mansfield. We rented a hallway for $1 for the whole summer. And we taught kids the three R's because some of our kids couldn't read. We taught them. I love them. Amen. And I'm about to cry. But let me tell you something. We worked that thing together. And Sister Carrie Thompson was the assistant dean at Tarrant County College. She had heard about the program. She walked in the program. Y'all, I was in my 20s, y'all. And I had my little clerics collar. Gary Poole talks about this all the time. I had my little collar on, looking like Father Michael Evans. And she said, "Baby, who's in charge?" I said, "Well, I'm the pastor at the church." She looked down at me. She said, "Oh, bless your heart." And she later on hired me at Tarrant County College to teach. And then from there, Gladys Emerson hired me to be a college-bound counselor. From there, I was promoted to overseeing the ESL program and GED program for the community campus for the entire district. Let me tell y'all something. And then from there, I went to serving at the Baptist General Convention of Texas. We had to work. We had to work because we needed to make sure that our families were going to be taken care of. So I'm kind of like Deacon Lawson. I didn't know anything else to do and still don't know anything else to do. I know I hung here too long, but I want you to understand we need some tent making preachers out there. We need some tent making teachers out there. You need to understand that there will be times when God will give you the spirit of skill so that you can go do other things so that you can support your family. Let me move on. I held too long there, but I hope you hear what I said. Paul had something in common with Priscilla and Aquila, and God knew it all the time. Look at verse number 18, and we'll look at verses 18 through 21. Verse 18 says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had," past tense, "a vow." Watch God. See, God give you friends closer than brothers and sisters. Won't he do it? Amen. Look here. God knitted the Apostle Paul. He knitted Priscilla and Aquila together. He knitted them together. They became longtime friends. I mean, to the death. So here they were now. They were now a team. See, when God puts a team together, you know, and let me just go and boast in the Lord. I thank God for the officers we have here at the Bethlehem Church. I thank God for the team that works on Wednesdays here at the Bethlehem Church. Listen, we just work together. Ain't nobody getting paid. We just work together. We make sure people are taken care of together. I think about, Lord, if I call names, I'm going to get in trouble. But you know who you are. Those of you who go out, you pray for folk. You see about, we have people at our church, a sister in particular. Not only will they take you to the hospital, they sit out. This woman has sat out in the parking lot waiting on the people to get done, with the day surgery, then take them back home. Lord have mercy. That's the Holy Ghost. Through this ice storm and this craziness we went through. We've got couples who just knock on doors. How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Been taking people in. Amen. Listen, we had a couple that had to take in Sister Evans and I. Are you listening to me? God, when he knits you together, he'll knit you together. Look at verse 18b, the second part of that. Paul, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Amen. Bless y'all. This is live TV. So Rev Mark is not here to clean up all of this. All right, so I'm being just, here it is. Pardon my cough. So here's the deal. Paul had cut off all his hair because he was on his way back to Jerusalem. And let me tell you what he was doing. Paul was preparing to go back to Jerusalem and to go back to the temple. He was going to teach in the temple because he wanted to convert people to Christianity. And so Paul was doing whatever he needed to do in order to make sure that the people there would be all right. Okay. That they would accept him, that they would be able to know that he was still a Jew, but he was now a Christian. Today in the 21st century, we call that a Messianic Jew. These are Jewish. I mean, really Jewish. These are Jewish Christians. So the Apostle Paul was taking the Nazarite vow. Scripture says, look at the text, H-A-D, past tense, had a vow. So he was on his way back there now. And again, bless his heart, he was just showing them that, you know, I'm one of y'all. Look at verse number 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. It's something about Ephesus. Many of you know about 4 years ago, we all cruised. We all went to Ephesus. We went to Rome. And then we went to Ephesus. Ephesus is located in Turkey. And it's a beautiful coastal town. I mean, beautiful there. Of course, we know that John, the gospel writer, John the Revelator, amen, was the elder at Ephesus. We know that he brought with him Mother Mary. Of course, Mary was given to him, bequeathed to his care about Jesus on the cross. We visited what's believed to have been the home place. We went to John's grave site. Watch this. It was his grave site of what the Catholics did. They exhumed his body and took his body to Rome. We saw where John was buried. It is some kind of a place, but Ephesus was that place. The third largest city in the Roman Empire, where Paul had a serious impact, God through him. Priscilla and Aquila, they had a serious impact, God through them. And Christianity grew in Ephesus. It really did. And in verse 20 through 21, the word of God says, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. In other words, he couldn't stay there. He was called upon to go to Jerusalem. One of the things that we learn about calling is that you don't always get to stay in that comfortable place. I mean, it's one of the things that scares the bejeebers out of me. God will continue to stretch you. And as soon as you think that you are where God wants you to be and you get all comfortable, God says, I'm not through with you yet. I've got somewhere else for you to go. I've got some more work for you to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's scary. I mean, it's not scary as in you scared that God's going to send you somewhere to kill you. No, it's scary because when you just get, I mean, you start getting older and you find where you are, you're thinking, I'm good, you know, but God says, yeah, you are, but I've got more work for you to be done, to do. And listen to this. When you step out of the will of God and you start saying to him, you don't want to go, don't want to do, then you got to understand, then that's starting to mean that your work on this side is done. Amen. So you need to be careful about assignments that you're turning down. Don't miss what I just said. Amen. When God is calling you, and I'm preaching to me too now. Amen. I ain't going nowhere. Not right now. But what I'm saying is when God is calling you to another assignment, you have to answer. Evans, wait a minute, man. I got a home here. My kids, my grandkids here. I got money in the bank. Hey, I understand that. But who gave it to you in the first place? Amen. So Paul says, I can't stay here. I've got to go on. I've got somewhere else to be. Where was that somewhere else? It was Jerusalem. And watch what he says. If it is the will of God, if it is the will of God, then I'll be there. Amen. If it's the will of God, I'll be back there. We operate under the will of God. And when you say, thy will be done, not mine, you need to mean it. Amen. 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 I say it. And at 54 years old, serving now in the capacity I'm serving in the city of Mansfield and at the Bethlehem Church, I tell you what, I better mean it. Amen. Because if I don't, amen, God's going to deal with me. So we need to be mindful of all of that. Amen. again, they wanted him to stay longer. But that brother said, y'all, I want to, but I can't stay any longer. Verse number 24 says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Amen. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Alexandria is North Africa, y'all. So here you have this North African, a very eloquent speaker, preacher, mighty in the scripture. He was a Jew. So he was mighty in the Old Testament. He was mighty in the Old Testament, but he had come to know Jesus, but he didn't know the full message. Amen. Bless his heart. He was sincere in what he was doing, but he didn't have everything that he needed in order to do it right, to do it correctly. So the word of God says he came to Ephesus, and guess who was in Ephesus? Verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He knew only so much, but he didn't know all that he needed to know in order to be fully equipped to deliver the word like he needed to deliver it. Let me tell y'all something. Don't ever think that you've learned it all. Amen. Look at what the scripture says. He was eloquent in speech. He was fervent, meaning he was passionate. But and look, Pastor Evans. Pastor Evans is still learning, y'all. I don't have all of the sense. None of us has all of the sense. We're all still learning. We're all still trying to do better. We're all still trying to be better at what we do. All right? So watch God. God had already set it up. He had already set it up. Verse number 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God. Watch this, more perfectly. See, I miss people like that in the church. See, back in the day, we had those papas and those big mamas. They would pull you to the side. You might be articulate. I mean, you might have an inexhaustible vocabulary. But if you don't know the word, like you need to know the word, those old folk back in the day, they wouldn't embarrass you in public. But they pull you to the side and say, come here, baby, let me talk to you. Amen. You hop up there thinking you preaching and you coming right out of seminary and you've learned all of those eloquent words and those big words and they don't even know what, they don't know what the eschaton is, eschatology. If people don't know what soteriology is, amen, the parousia, they ain't heard all that, but you up there, boy, you waxing eloquently, but you ain't helping nobody. Pardon my grammar, but you aren't helping anybody. But they'll pull you to the side and they'll say, baby, you know what? You gave a good speech, but you know what, baby? Next time, just preach about Jesus. Well, you've been preaching about Jesus the whole time, but you've been doing it in language that the people didn't understand. So they would pull you to the side. They would invite you to dinner at their house. See, I miss that. I miss when the folks used to invite you to dinner, you know, at the house. Me and Lisa, bless her heart, my wife, man, we were kids. Lord, Sister Shepherd would have us over at our house. Man, and we'd get on that coffee table. And you're talking about doing some eating? The Eugenes, we go over there and we do some eating. Hello, somebody. Now, they still do invite us over to their house. So I just want you to know. But that used to, every Sunday, we ain't had no money. I wasn't getting but $50 a Sunday. We ain't had no money. Man, we go to Sister Gladys Lawson's. Lord, God have mercy. We eat over there, go to sleep, then go to go to church at Mount Horem and I preach, Lord Jesus, Sister Lucy Powell. Y'all, I can give you the names of some people who would show up, feed you. They would feed you. Sister Elnora Johnson. Man, the people fed us. Lord have mercy. Whatever you're saying, preacher, they would pull you to the side. See, in your mind, they were feeding you. But what they were doing that we didn't really understand, they were giving us that mother wit. They were sharing with us. That's what they did with the Apollos. They loved on him. They poured into him. They let him stay out there looking, you know, with some half-baked gospel. They gave him the word. God calls us to love on each other like that. Amen. Reel them in. Listen, I'm going to try to say this without identifying anybody. Have you ever been around people who, I mean, they might know more than you know, and they want other people to know that they know more than you know, and they try to make you look bad, you know? Then they be mouthing stuff, you know, he's ignorant. I mean, you know, he don't know what he's talking about. I mean, rather than them pulling you in, getting into your ear, loving on you, they want to make you look stupid. They want you to know you ain't nothing. But thank God for Priscilla and Aquila. Word of God says, just pull them in. Start talking to them. We're going to wrap up right now. Romans 16, 3 and 4. Let me hit rewind. If you're one of those people that holds your knowledge, you better be careful. God going to deal with you later, because if you see it, if you see that a person needs some help and you don't give it, God's going to deal with you. I'm just saying. Amen. Romans 16, 3 and 4. And then we're going to wrap up. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Paul is saying, these are people who I have known for many years. He's writing to the church at Rome. I love them. I may not get there, but y'all tell them. See, they're back in Rome now. He writes his letter to them. Let them know that I love them. And you need to know that God gave me some brothers and sisters. I have been blessed. I'm wrapping this up. And I've been talking a lot about me today. I'm sorry. I've been blessed to have people who've been closer to me than family. My family, we're close. I'm just saying. Y'all, when God puts people in your life like that, you better cherish them. You better cherish them. And thank God for them, because they sure will bless you. Taking a risk. What was the risk, Pastor Evans? I guess what the commentator is saying is that by leaving Athens, going to Corinth, not knowing what you're going to encounter at Corinth, for Paul, in the natural, it was taking a risk. But God had talked to Paul and told him, read it, told him, I've got friends in Achaia. Whoever you are, maybe you're listening in Texas. Maybe you're out of the state. Maybe you're new to the state, and in this ice storm, you felt like you were by yourself. I'm in Jesus' name. No, you're not. God has people everywhere. And the Lord loves you. And he'll take care of you. May God bless you. This is my homemade Bible study for you today. It's the best we can do. May the Lord bless you. May God keep you. I hope that you've heard a word that will speak to your condition and to your situation. May God bless you. May God keep you. Let us pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that I do come. We come together, reminding us, we need you to remind us that when we step out on faith, we're not taking a risk. Because Lord God, you've never let us down. Thank you, God, for helping so many to make it through this storm. Oh, I know that there were some dark days, literally. People like myself, others who didn't have electricity. But through it all, you made a way. Help us to know, Father, that in a blink of an eye, everything that we have can be taken. But you're still God. You still put a roof over our head, food in our bellies. And Lord God, you still put help within these bones. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. We love you, God. Thank you. Thank you for technology. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. Have a great week.